Well, good morning. Did you guys wake up this morning and say, "Good God, it's morning"? Or did you wake up and say, "Good morning, God"? Hey, Marty. I woke up at 4, and at first I was like, "Good God, it's morning." But then I was like, "Hallelujah, good morning, God." So good to be with you this morning. So tonight, that's great, Alan. Well, it is dark outside. This morning we're going to talk about are you a member of the Macedonian church or are you a member of the Corinthian church? And that'll become evident as we go through what Paul has for us this morning in 2 Corinthians 8, 1 through 7. But before I get to that, let me add an extra prayer to what Jeff already did for us. Father God, may this morning's scripture and discussion align each of us to you and your will and lead to our greater sanctification. To you, Lord, Almighty, worthy of all glory and praise, I ask this in the name of Jesus, Savior and Redeemer. Amen. So if you've got your Bible or your iPhone, or go ahead and bring up 2 Corinthians 8, 1 through 7. And I'll start. So 8:1. And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people. And they exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves, first of all, to the Lord, and then by the will of God, also to us. So we urged Titus, just as he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. But since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. The word of the Lord. So, title of today's talk, as I said earlier, is Are You a Macedonian or Are You a Member of the Corinthian Church? So we're gonna do a little unscientific test this morning. So let me put a slide up and see. Anybody recognize that guy? So let me give you the picture, right? You're at the intersection. And this, kind gentleman in a red fez with a bucket in his hand that has a picture of a child on it comes up to your car. And what do you do? Do you go, or you roll down your window? Nobody does this anymore. You go, psh, roll down your window and do something, right? So, okay, that's our first part of our unscientific test. Next slide. Okay. You're in Buckhead. Everybody's back at the office now. You're walking down the street to have lunch, and you see this guy. Do you walk around him? Do you stop? Do you have a conversation with them? Do you give something? Do you give something to them? So I'm suggesting that if you're a Macedonian church member, you're going to engage both of those guys and you're going to do something. You're going to pull something out of your pocket and you're going to do something for them, even if you don't have much, because the Lord has instilled in you a heart for giving, which is what the Macedonians absolutely represent in this set of scriptures, right? Or are you like the Corinthians and you have all the gifts in the world, right? You can talk really well. There's so many gifts that you have as a church. You got a little bit of money, but you're walking around this guy, right? You're not engaging him and you're not pulling out that wallet. So I'm going to leave it with you as to where you are at this moment, but we can take down now the non-scientific test. So let me ask, you know, God has a sense of humor, right? God created humor. And as an example of that, that is why I'm having this, why you have selected me to give this presentation this morning. There are no coincidences with God, right? Which is, you know, it's just what's covered today between Paul and the church at Corinth may be directed at you, but it's definitely directed at me. I'm a charter member of the Corinthian church. I was there when Paul first came in. And so I share many of the characteristics of some of the folks there, good and bad. I've been a less than happy giver financially to the work of the Lord. And it says something about my heart and my faith. But men, I'm changing churches. I feel like this message today has helped me realize I need to move from Corinth up to Macedonia. Because until I commit all of my life to Christ, to include my finances, I'm limiting my own growth. I'm limiting the blessings around me that I could be part of. And I'm missing out on being used by God in His work. And if some of you, if this speaks to you, if you're a member of the Corinthian church like I am, come on over. Let's move to Macedonia. But I'm here to tell you, it's probably difficult up in Macedonia. And we're going to touch base on what was happening in the first century Macedonian churches. So we're going to take a quick side trip over to Macedonia, and then we'll go to Corinth. But Macedonia, the churches there were Philippi, Thessalonica, and Berea. And they were poor. And some of you will relate to this. They were Appalachia poor. So you get a handle on what I mean by that, right? I mean, they were desperate. And they were persecuted for their faith in Jesus. And yet, they were asking Paul, how can we help? How can we help the church in Jerusalem? It's just amazing. I mean, they were begging to give out of their poverty generously. It's really remarkable. Now let's drive down the street to Corinth. Corinth was comparatively rich. The church at Corinth was comparatively rich. Corinth, important city, center of the action in terms of trade, travel, military. And the church there was made up of Jews and Gentiles, rich and poor, and free and slaves. And they had knowledge and love and talent, but they lacked one important aspect to their faith. And that was hearts filled with generosity toward others in need and the work of the kingdom. Now, the Macedonians, on the other hand, they understood that all blessings come from where? They come from above, right? They come from God. And they understood their place in God's economy and God's plan. And they embraced the opportunity to do whatever they could to further God's kingdom. And, you know, it's remarkable because they understood, as we talked about it, all blessings come from above. But they also deeply understood that it's a privilege to share in God's work. And that it's better to give than receive. And that we are actually the ultimate beneficiaries of participating in God's work. So this might be a surprise to you, but God does not need your money. Okay? Good. For some of you, that might be good news. But you know that God owns the cattle on how many hills? 1,000 hills, right? But the point is, we need God, and we need to be part of His plan and His work. And for those of us that have been members of the Corinthian church in terms of giving, you know what? We're hurting ourselves by not having generous hearts. And spoiler alert, this is a little wake-up call for you. Your money is not your money. And I want to go into that a little more deeply. Anything that can be easily taken from you is not yours. Now, this is not a political statement. This is just something that happened last week. But we had a former president who, in a court case, was told he has to pay something like $360 million. So this is one of the richest people in America. His money is not his money. Your money is not your money. It can be easily taken from you. This might be a surprise to you, but our government is bankrupt, right? No surprise to you. What now? In many ways, that's right. Well beyond finances. Amen. Good, very good point. But we're getting closer to insolvency if we're not already there every day. And I just want to point out something. If there's no government, there's no currency. Oops. If there's no government, there's no Social Security. If there's no government, there's no banking system. If there's no government for younger guys in here that are in the stock market, if there's no government, there's no stock market. Ouch, right? So the reality is we're totally dependent on Jesus. Everything else is shifting sand, right? I mean, we are absolutely, apart from Jesus, we can do nothing and we're destitute, no matter how much we have in the bank. So if the money is not really ours, how can we Corinthians, talking about myself, come to understand and hold it more loosely and let it go for God's work, knowing that all we have is His and comes from Him anyway? So that's what's going to be the focus of your discussion at the table today. And I'm going to ask you to listen hard for God's heart and for God to speak to you. What is He telling you about your relationship with Him and your relationship with money? If you're a member of the Corinthian church, like me, ask the Holy Spirit to soften your heart and create in you the heart of a generous giver. Remembering that the blessings, you have all these blessings in your life, and think on all that Jesus has done for you. Hallelujah, huh? So let me leave you with a couple of scripture verses here. Philippians 4:39, and my God will supply every need of yours according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And some really good news for you. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Guys, you're a new creation. Allow yourself to be a new creation with a generous, thankful, and giving heart. Don't miss out on all that God wants to do with you. He wants you to be part of His plan. So if you're a member of the Corinthian church, come with me. Let's go to Macedonia. Let's meet up with those guys. So you got questions at your table, but thank you very much for your time this morning.